Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all our conversation about Nick Foles refusing a trade back to the Eagles. And the great what-ifs in sports history. There's plenty of them. Unfortunately, we have one going on right now with Joel Embiid here in Philadelphia. But I wanted to bring on an insider here to talk about, well, baseball, but certainly a big topic in baseball right now, which is foreign substances. Offense is down, hitting is down, pitchers are dominating, and it seems like a big reason why is the foreign substance a lot of these pitchers are using, whether it's pine tar or whatever they're putting on their gloves and kind of rubbing it on their hands, and it's making a big impact. Bob Nightingale, who is one of our Odyssey MLB insiders, he wrote about it, and baseball is about to crack down, or at least try to. So joining the show right now is Odyssey MLB insider Bob Nightingale. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Bob, how you doing tonight?
Yeah, doing great. How about yourself?
We're doing well, and interesting piece you wrote this weekend about how baseball is really going to start kind of ramping up and trying to crack down on what's happening with foreign substances. Bob, before we get into what they might do, from your reporting, from the people you talk to, how prevalent do you now think this is with pitchers, you know, using something to get gain an advantage?
Well, I think it's out of control. I think Trevor Bauer said a couple of years ago 70%. I can agree with that. You know, it's almost like the steroid era of hitters. Yeah, to pitchers that use steroids also, but just, you know, it's obliterating every record, just like those home run records. You know, everybody was hitting 50, 60 home runs. Now everybody's striking out, you know, 10 guys a game. And so, you know, the records mean so much in baseball. And now, you know, not only they don't, because you don't know what's real and what isn't real.
Bob, how do you think they're going to be able to do this? I know a couple of weeks ago, you know, you saw the umpires go out and kind of look at a pitcher. I know it was the St. Louis Chicago game last week. The pitcher's cap,
Joe,
Gallegos.
Joe West, right?
Yeah.
Uh huh.
So how do you think it's going to be like that, where the game's going and all of a sudden you'll see an umpire go out to the mound and maybe check a hat or check a glove?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I don't think they want to throw anybody out, but they're going to kind of, you know, warn people. Hey, we're going to be vigilant now. And looking to see who's cheating and not, and we're gonna, you know, we'll remove your hat, we'll remove your gloves, but just a warning: if you get caught in here, you know, it's gonna be a penalty, whether, you know, 7 games, 10 games, something. But they're gonna crack down big time on this.
Yeah, it does seem like it's more and more prevalent. But Bob, you know, what do you think is being used here? Because we've heard so many different things. I know pine tar is part of it, rosin, maybe sunscreen. I mean, this stuff's been going on a long time. Do you think there's one thing that has taken over? Is it something we don't even know about? Like, what do you think these pitchers are actually using on the mound to gain this advantage?
Yeah, they're just some kind of concoction. Again, there's different types out there that guys can, buy over the counter or stuff like that. Some of these guys are doing it themselves. Remember the Angels bat boy got in trouble a couple years ago when he was, you know, designing it for all the pitchers. So yeah, just a substance, you know, like even better than a pine tar, almost like a pine tar plus a sunscreen and everything else with rosin that makes a grip, you know, so great. And I think that's why we're seeing it, you know, the pitchers just dominate like they are, particularly, you know, with those breaking balls. I mean, some of these guys were just, you know, ordinary pitchers. all of a sudden now, you know, everybody's looking like Sandy Koufax.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, some of the ERAs out there, we were discussing last night, like Kevin Gausman, I'm not accusing him of anything, but just Kevin Gausman of the Giants, like he has an ERA in the mid ones, and we don't even talk about him. Like he's just like another pitcher, even though he's great, because, Bob, it's incredible. Like, we look up every day at the stats and standings and numbers. Like, there are so many pitchers that are pitching to sub-3, sub-2 ERAs, almost like it's no big deal now.
Yeah, right. It's like, you know, someone might break, Bob Gibson 1.12. It's, you're right. It's just everybody's below 2. We're not even, blinking about it. You know, it takes it away, you know, with all these no-hitters, everything else. It takes away the excitement of a great pitching performance because everybody's doing it. You know, just like it took away the excitement with everybody, hitting 50, 60 home runs. It's just, this way in reverse.
Yeah, we're kind of numb to it now. Bob Nightingale, Odyssey Sports Insider, MLB Insider, joining us, talking about the foreign substance pitchers are using, baseball about to try to crack down here. And Bob, Theo Epstein is now really in charge of all this, as he's trying to find a way to get the game kind of more centered, because it's kind of gone off one way versus the other with strikeouts. But Bob, when you look at the game, and you've covered it for a long time, what is the biggest issue right now? Because I don't know if anyone could pinpoint it, or it's this or that, or pace, or time of game. The one thing it just feels to me is there's just less action, and every night there feels like there's less exciting plays in baseball.
No, absolutely. A lot less action. You know, it's just strikeout, home run, or walk. You get tired of watching it. And I think, even, the shifts, the analytics have taken away the fun of it. I mean, if you go back, like when a great defensive shortstop like Ozzie Smith, thank God analytics weren't in play then, because there'd be someone, standing 5 feet to the left of Ozzie and 5 feet to the right. We wouldn't see their athleticism. So we're not seeing that kind of fun. I think they did fan surveys. The most exciting play baseball fans say is a triple, then the double, the stolen base. Well, we're at record lows in all three categories.
Bob, what's realistic here in terms of a time frame for Theo Epstein, for baseball, for maybe some new rules to come in, new legislation? Like, what do you think is realistic for the game to start shifting back to the way it's maybe supposed to be? Is this next season thing, a couple years? Because none of this will be overnight, right? Like, they could try some things, but it's probably going to take a little while for the game to shift back. How far do you think they're away from that? Is this a couple-year project to try to get baseball back kind of centered again?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think they'll start cracking down on the forward substance with pitchers, immediately. I can see that happening, next week, and if not a couple weeks, that sort of thing. I think we'll see, we'll definitely see next year, and you can't have any more 14-man pitching staffs. Just go down to 13, then 12, 11. So these guys have to learn how to, pitch deep in the games, and not just throw as hard as you can for 5 innings and leave the game. I think we'll see a pitch clock. I don't think we'll move the mounds back in major leagues, but they could do something. I do think we'll see electronic strike zone in the next 3 years too, where they can change that strike zone season to season.
Bob Nightingale, Odyssey MLB Insider, joining us here. Bob, let's talk for a couple minutes about the Phillies, NL East. So the Phillies right now, a big win last night. They're rained out today, but they had been struggling. They really have struggled the first 2 months of the season. They're below 500. They've had, been banged up, and they're looking up in the standings right now in this division. Bob, what's the feeling out there about the Phillies? Is this a team that is going to be a buyer and try to find a way to win maybe a mediocre division? Or is there some thought the Phillies just, don't have it and might not even try much in July 31st?
Well, I think they'll try. Knowing Dave Dombrowski, they'll definitely try. I just don't know how much, wiggle room they have with the luxury tax and everything else. I just think it's going to be tough to get guys coming in. Not like they have a whole lot of prospects. They have a poor farm system. But, yeah, and it's going to be frustrating for the Phillies and the fans because it's such a winnable division. I mean, it's a terrible division. And yet, they're just kind of, hanging around 500 and can't even climb over it. I mean, the Mets are the only team over 500 in the division. And the Mets have got plenty of flaws themselves.
Yeah, it's for sure frustrating, Bob. As someone who is on before and after the games every night, it is frustrating here in Philadelphia. Bob, curious your thoughts. As a baseball guy, but also a journalist, I'm sure you heard and saw Joe Girardi last week. He kind of tried to talk his way around Bryce Harper being unavailable before they put him on the IL, and he said it wasn't injury related. None of us bought it, and obviously it was. He's now on the IL. But Joe, after that, basically put an edict down that he's not going to talk about injuries anymore. And when a player is questionable, he's just going to say manager's decision. He thinks it gives his team a strategic advantage. Bob, you've been covering the game a long time. What do you make of Girardi? It sounds like he's just frustrated right now to me.
Well, he is frustrated, but I'm surprised more managers haven't done this in the past, particularly when before games, you know, common question will be, hey, what pitchers are not available tonight. And I'm surprised people even answer that question. I think it does give a competitive thing. Guys are going to, you know, tweet that out or say it to another reporter. So I think more people will follow that suit. I really do. Obviously, he's frustrated, but I do think that more managers will say, you know what, he makes a great point here. What are we doing?
Bob, last one for you. I find it interesting, and probably the surprise of the year, out west, the San Francisco Giants, they're leading the NL West. The Phillies' ex-manager, Gabe Kapler, is the manager of that team, which is why I ask you, do you think they're for real, and are you surprised Kapler's done such a good job out in San Francisco?
Well, I'm certainly surprised they're doing this year. You know, I think people thought that this team's on the rise. They're going to have plenty of money to spend during the winter. Watch out. But, you know, when you're, you know, when you mention Gosman and, you know, we're seeing these guys, Disclopini, Cueto, everybody's just, you know, pitching lights out. And, you know, and the guys are staying healthy. You know, Longoria is playing great. You know, Crawford has been the best he's been in years, same with Buster Posey. So I don't know how long it can last because I don't think they have the depth. I also don't see them turning away prospects when they're rebuilding and kind of going for it this year. But they, I mean, right now, you're right. I mean, if the season ended today, Gabe Kapler would be National League Manager of the Year.
Bob, it's pretty amazing, and we'll keep watching and pay attention, and we'll keep reading your all your work at USA Today and, of course, everything you do for Odyssey here. Bob, thank you so much for hopping on tonight. I appreciate it.
Sure, my pleasure. Take care.
There he goes. Bob Nightingale, our Odyssey MLB insider. Insider calls presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. This is going to be interesting here next couple weeks. So Bob had the report on Sunday. That's why I wanted to bring him on. That baseball is apparently ready to crack down significantly on these guys, these pitchers that are using foreign substances. I don't know how they're going to do it, though. Like, Tucker, we watch these games every night. These pitchers are throwing lights out. They're spinning the ball. No, I mean, it's like they look like a wiffle ball out there. Are they just going to go out when a pitcher's dominating and just check his glove? Because most of these guys hide it. Like, every once in a while you laugh, like, that's pretty obvious. But I don't know how you enforce this in a game.
And also, if you're baseball, and this is a sport that's had its fair share of cheating scandals, obviously the steroid scandal, everything. Do you want that look for your sport?
In the middle of a game.
In the middle of a game, right? Like, if you have a kid, a 12, 13, even a younger kid, like, if your son, right, if you took your son to a Phillies game, said, hey, that's Aaron Nola, he's really good, watch him. And in the middle of the first inning, Joe West or whoever the umpire is walks out, grabs Aaron Nola's glove and says, uh-uh, and kicks him out of the game?
Like, how do you explain that?
How do you explain that to kids? How do you explain that to fans who are trying to get into your sport? I know they have far greater concerns than that, but I just feel like it's such an interesting thing to try to police mid-game.
And it is. I mean, I do think it is as prevalent as Bob said. Bob just said to us he thinks 70% of pitchers, he was going off of Bauer a couple years ago using that number. I'll tell you this. There is a – I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to do that without evidence or, you know, kind of out a guy without knowing. But I believe there's a Phillies pitcher currently that I have noticed do something. There's kind of a tick he has on his uniform before he goes to pitch. I've noticed it all year, and I would guess that he's using something. So, I mean, I think it's – and he's not like – he's not even their best pitcher. I'll put it that way. It's not someone you're like, oh, obviously. He's amazing. He's got to be on something. He's pretty good. Like, but, like, I noticed that here when he pitches. I notice around baseball all the time, like, the guys, the way they touch their glove to their hat, it just feels like they're all – it's like the worst-kept secret in sports. Like, they're all cheating.
Yeah, and – I mean, someone called it the Cardinals manager last week called it baseball's dirty little secret.
Yeah.
And what's funny is you think back to the Astros scandal, right? The last big cheating scandal. All it took was one guy to say, hey, you know they're doing this over here? And four teams pretty much paid the price for it. Isn't it odd that this is something where we can all say confidently, definitively, hey, this cheating is going on, but no one's breaking rank?
Yeah.
Right? Like no one from any team
well,
is willing.
Because every team has someone doing it.
Exactly. Like no one from the Yankees is going to step up and say, hey, you know what? We played the Astros last week. I thought Zach Greinke was going to his back pocket too often. You know why? Because Garrett Cole does the same exact thing.
Yeah, they're all in on it. And here's the problem. It's not that it's like the biggest deal in the world. The game's suffering. No one's hitting. There's no offense because these pitchers are unbelievable because they're throwing 98 with spin. And it's like, all right, cool. No one can hit this. And the batting average for the league is at 230. 215-592-9494. We appreciate Bob hopping on. All right, let's get back to the phone lines here. A couple things we've been talking about here tonight. Number one, report came out last week. Nick Foles refused a trade back to the Eagles. Eagles tried to get him. In March, they wanted to trade for him back. I presume he would have been in the role Joe Flacco is. It's kind of the backup, compete with Jalen Hurts, be the mentor. He didn't want it. I'm disappointed in Nick, and if I was him, I would have wanted to come back here. This is the only place I've had success. If you were Nick Foles, would you have wanted to come back? And give us a great what-if in sports. I think Joel Embiid's going to end up being one of the biggest what-ifs in Philadelphia sports history, not only this year, but his career, and such a great player, a dominant force that just cannot stay on the court. 215-592-9494. And with the what-ifs tonight, we have a $50 gift card to Boston Market for the best one we hear tonight. Mark is in Cincinnati. He's on WIP. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Good, Mark. How you been, bud?
Good, thank you. Hey, so I'll give you my what-if real quick. Since it's this weekend was the anniversary of the faux prediction, what if Moses didn't get traded for that guy, what was it, Jeff Rulin or something?
Yeah. Yep.
Or am I mixing my poisons there? So yeah, it was I think that there could have been a second parade, maybe 84, 85, you know, if they stayed together. Because he had a good four more years. And he was still pretty productive. So I never understood that trade. I was a big Moses and Doc fan, obviously, so just like everybody
else.
Yeah,
it's a good one. It's one that, you know, kind of everyone always remembers, you know, him coming here. But him leaving here is also kind of a what if. He was a great player, and he played for a long time. I know you said he had about four more good years, but he hung around in the NBA forever after that. So, he was playing into the mid-90s, I believe.
Yeah, he was. I mean, yeah, I just remember watching a few years after. I'm like, why did we get rid of this guy for this other dude?
Right, right.
You know, who produced nothing. So, yeah, it was a really bad trade. So what if, you know, could have been another parade. So, hey, just real quick, I'll tell you a very brief story about my feeling about the situation with Nick Foles. You know, I don't see the upside. I just remember I was at an event, and there was this guy from another country. And he was like, hey, I never played golf. And I was standing in the putting green. So I grabbed the putter and the ball. I was like 40 feet away from the hole. And I hit it. And it just bounced and twisted and turned and went right in the hole. And I handed him the club. And I was like, there you go. That's how you do it. And I walked away. I never went back to the green the rest of the day because there was no way I was ever going to make – like, I'm not a very good golfer, you know. But he like tried and tried. I could see he was just so frustrated. So I just feel like Nick Foles, you know, he accomplished everything he could possibly accomplish here, and he can always come back. He'll always be a hero. But I just don't see the upside for Nick Foles and his family to come back here and try to do something. It just wouldn't make sense if it were me.
Yeah, it's interesting because you're right. I mean, he did go out. I know they lost the last playoff game he played, but in essence, he went out on top, right? He had two back-to-back playoff runs. Yeah, I mean, amazing runs too.
Yeah, so I have a shrine of him. I was always a Carson supporter. I always was. I was one of the rare guys that I wasn't polarized by that whole situation. I was a Carson supporter, and I love Nick Foles. I'm happy for him. And if he comes back, he can come back and do some of his other things that he's into, ministries or whatever. You know, he'll always be a hero and he'll always be loved. And if he comes back, and he fails, I agree with you. It's not going to sully his legacy. I don't believe that.
Oh, it can't. I mean, and Mark, I appreciate it. Always good talking to you, Cam. I mean, Nick Foles will be loved here forever, no matter what happens moving forward. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Kevin in Haverford, who's up next on WIP. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Joe. How's it going?
Good, Kevin. What's on your mind tonight?
First of all, just quickly, I need to eat some crow after our conversation about Ben Simmons last week. I don't know if you saw him on the foul line. I think it was the second set of free throws, but Maxie or somebody stepped up to him to say something, and he looked directly in the camera, and he was as white as a ghost, and I honestly felt bad for him.
Yeah, I'm watching here as we chat and do the show. I saw it too, Kevin. It's frustrating so much because they need him. Like they need him to be at his best, and it drives me crazy.
And quickly, so Embiid was in game one when he got in foul trouble, when he was in, I think the Sixers were up like 26-10. He came out and somehow the Sixers lost the first quarter. He comes back in the second quarter with two fouls. The Sixers surge ahead. He gets a third foul. He comes out. They're down at half. And it wasn't even by a small margin. He's such a difference maker on the court for the Sixers that it's scary, and it almost makes me feel hope.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, the Raptors series a few years ago. When he was on the court, they dominated. And as soon as he walked off the court, it felt like the Raptors, you know, went on a 10-0 run every time.
Exactly. And just real quick, the conversation they just had with the guy on the phone, the reporter, I forget his name, I'm sorry, but... Yes, suddenly the Tigers and the Royals and the White Sox can pitch, and they don't have two pitchers on each staff with a 9 ERA. It's unreal, but, you know, that's all I wanted to say about that. But I think we're about the same age, Joe, and I'm 31, but I'm fairly sure if anybody's going to like my what if, it's going to be you. But these high school and college kids that think DJ Swearinger hits hard and Tyrann Mathieu is the best cover specialist they ever saw in college, I feel bad for them because they never, ever saw Sean Taylor play. What if Sean Taylor wasn't killed in 2007?
Kevin, it's a great one. It's a sad one. I'm going to put you in the mix for our Boston Market gift card because that's probably my favorite one of the night. Sean Taylor was an incredible football player, and I loved watching him play. He was you talk about a guy who could run, I don't know, he probably ran a 4.44 as a safety, and he hit like a linebacker. It's a great point. The game was a little different then. It was right before the rules changed, but there was nobody that played the safety position with that kind of dual, ability, and I've seen, and I would say, you know, my generation, you know, anyone, I'm 34, anyone my age and younger or older, I should say, but around 30 and older, let's just say that, you know, we've seen some great safeties. We've seen Dawkins, obviously Brian Dawkins, Ed Reed, Troy Polamalu, I would say John Lynch was a step below those guys, but still a Hall of Fame caliber player. We've seen some great players that position. And I always believed Sean Taylor was going to be in that mix. Like, that's how good he was at that position. It's a great what if. It would have changed the NFC East. It would have changed the NFL. And I'd be willing to wager he'd be wrapping up or probably wrapped up a few years ago, a Hall of Fame career. That's how good he was. 215-592-9494. If you were Nick Foles, would you have wanted to come back to the Eagles? Reportedly, he turned down that chance. He didn't want to come. And the Eagles said, all right, fine, you don't want to come, we're not going to trade for you. But the Eagles tried to trade for him in March. It was Foles that put the kibosh on it. If you were Foles, would you have wanted to return? I would. Tucker thinks, no, let it be. The great run he had. I would have run back here if I was Nick Foles, the only place that have had real success. And we have a $50 gift card to Boston Market. Give us a great what if. Unfortunately, I believe Joel Embiid is this playoff run, his career, it's going to end up as a what-if. 215-592-9494. We'll come back, your phone calls, and the Eagles may be working on a contract extension with one of their better young players. I'll tell you who. Actually, he'll tell you about it on the other side on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.